Everyone is searching for answers. Everyone is searching for answers. Who am I? Why am I here? What am I supposed to be doing? What is going to happen to me? Do I have a special destiny? These and many more questions haunt our thoughts, and many of the answers can be found in the secret behind the day of your birth. Your birthday identifies you as one of the 52 cards in the deck, which in turn reveals many things about you and your life. Stay tuned today as we explore your destiny with me, Robert Lee Kemp. This might be your date with destiny.
Today is Monday, March 16, 2009. Welcome to the Mr. Destiny Radio Show. This is Robert Lee Kemp. I'm the author of The Cards of Your Destiny, another book called Love Cards, and another book called Your Birthday, Your Card, all describing an ancient system that you can use to predict your future, understand yourself better, understand your relationships, learn to accept yourself, find out what your true purpose might be, find out what work is best for you. We're going to be talking about work tonight. It's our topic tonight, success in the world. This system actually can help you. It can tell many people, you know, just the kind of work they might be best at, the kind of work they might make the most money at. It's funny, everybody has a Jupiter card in what we call the life spread, and that is typically how they can make a lot of money very easily. Like, a good example of that is the Nine of Diamonds. The Nine of Diamonds itself is not a great sales card. There's nothing about the Nine of Diamonds that would make it a good sales card, but they have in Jupiter the Jack of Diamonds, which says that, wow, they can make a lot of money in sales. And if they ever do sales, they do very well. And they'll tell you this. Now, they may not choose to do sales. They may choose to do something else because they might do it for a while, but then they realize it's not really what they want to do. But it's there for them if they want to make a lot of prosperity. It's always available to them. And all of us have a Jupiter card, and that Jupiter card can tell us something about how we can make money in an easy-to-follow fashion. Today is March 16th, and people born today are the Seven of Diamonds card with a King of Diamonds planetary ruling card, still in the realm of Pisces. So here's another double diamond birthday. And you can imagine that people of this card, money is where it's at. This is what they're about. Of course, it can be found in all walks of life, and they can be found doing all different kinds of work in life. Their Seven of Diamonds are pretty versatile. They can do almost anything. George Carlin was a Seven of Diamonds, and he's a comedian, but there's plenty of actors and actresses. Jerry Lewis is born today. Movie director Bernardo Bertolucci, the Newlywed Game host Chuck Woolery, and Eric Estrada. I think wasn't he in Chips? Wasn't he like the Latino, hot looking California Highway Patrol guy? His birthday is today. Rock singer Nancy Wilson from Heart, rapper Flavor Flav, folk singer Patty Griffin, a lot of musicians, and Wolfgang von Halen, rock musician. This must be Van Halen's little kid. He's only 18 years old. He's a Wolfgang. What a name. Wolfgang von Halen. This guy is going to be probably really something when he grows up. Just with that name, he kind of has a lot going for him. So if you're born today or know somebody born today, happy birthday to all of you. Hope you have an incredible year this year. We know that money is important to you, and you should have your own business because you are a King of Diamonds as well as a Seven of Diamonds. And you can be very, very strong-willed and very, very stubborn. This is a fact. I don't know if any of you have been on Facebook before, but if you're not on Facebook, we have a wonderful Facebook application that would make it worth your while just to get on Facebook. It's really cool. I mean, it tells you your daily cards and stuff like that, but it also shows you all the cards of your friends. And it's just really, really fun. It's a really kind of great tool to kind of poke around and play with the cards. It's really colorful. It's well done. I think you would love it. Just sign up to Facebook if you're not already a member, and then do a search for My Destiny Cards on Facebook. Also, Love Cards Dating. We have a website based on this amazing website where you can find matches based on the real compatibility you have with other people. Like, who do you have the hottest sex with? That website will tell you, among the 800 or so people that are on there, who do you have the best connections with for sex, for love, for friendship, for business. It's all there, and you can take advantage of it. It's waiting for you if you're not already on there. So every Monday night, we have a talk. I do a little talk on this topic, and then around 7:30 Pacific time, you can call in. You can call in before then if you don't mind waiting. Get yourself a place in line. You can call in and get readings. I do readings on this show for free. It's the only context. I don't even do free readings by email. People will write me and ask me questions, and I don't do those readings. I tell them, if you want a free reading, come to the radio show, because I don't do free readings. But this is something I enjoy doing, and I'm a Queen of Diamonds. We like to be in service. And we like to donate. So this is a donation, and it's service, and it's educational, and it's fun. And I really enjoy my listeners, and glad to have you guys again here tonight. If anybody's new, call up at 7:30, and let's get a reading for you. Let's find out what your card is and what's going on in your life. If you have a relationship, give me both birthdays. I was thinking about this. I'm probably going to do a show on the Playboy radio station or channel or whatever, radio, and about relationships. And, you know, with this system, if you know it really well, you could tell everything about any two people without even seeing them or knowing anything about them. Just knowing their birthdays, and you say, if these two people were together, what would it be like? I could tell you exactly what it's going to be like. And anybody who studies the cards long enough could do that too, because the system is that well developed. It's so well developed now that we really have nailed it. I mean, if you want to see an amazing thing, order a Love Cards intimate relationship report from my website for you and somebody you know really well that you've been in a relationship with, and read it and see what you think. I'm sure, like everybody else who's written me, it'll blow you away. And my website, by the way, is 7thunders, the number 7, and the word thunders.com. There's a wealth of free information on there and a free Destiny application, which is very much like the Facebook app. If you don't want to be a Facebook member, you can always go to my site and just play around with it for nothing right there. But there's a lot of articles there, information and resources. If you want to learn the system and have access to your past, present, future, and understanding of you and your relationships, you have it all at your fingertips. It's all available. We don't hold back anything. We give it all away. That's the nature of the show. That's what it's all about. Okay, so let's see. Any other announcements? Oh, yes. I'm going to be taking a little vacation, and I'll definitely be gone next Monday. I might be gone 2 Mondays in a row, though I will try to make one of those. I mean, if I can, the second one. Even if I'm on the road, I might find a way to have a hookup by phone so I can do the show. I will we'll keep you posted. There'll be an announcement, though. If I'm going to be on the show, you'll see an announcement on the email blast that most of you get. I'm going to see my father. My father's still alive. He's about 76 or 77 years old. He's a Gemini, 2 of Clubs, with a King of Clubs ruling card. And he and I play bluegrass music together. I play 5-string banjo and guitar. He plays guitar and mandolin. We get together, and we really enjoy playing together. I've been playing since I was about 10 to 12 years old. My dad basically taught me to play so that he could have a backup. Then I went on to learn the banjo, and he became the backup. And then now we take turns being the backup. It works out really good. We're really compatible in that way. So I'm going to go see him because I'm not, when your parents get really old, you never know how much longer they're going to be around, and I haven't spent any quality time with him in a really long time, so I'm looking forward to that journey. I'll be driving cross-country all the way from California to Florida and all points in between. Tonight's topic is about success. Now, success may or may not be important to you. I mean, it's not important to everybody, but I think everybody would like to be successful in some area, in some areas of their life. And then, of course, you know, we all define success in different ways. We each have our own definition of what success is. I've always been a really success-motivated person. I'm an Ace of Diamonds ruler. People who are Aces and Tens naturally are driven to accomplish things. Now, it's not always for the best reason. If you really examine, you know, people who are Aces and Tens, it's not always the best thing. Sometimes it's really part of an issue that needs to be addressed in a lifetime. But that's the life path. That's the way it goes when you are an Ace or a Ten. You're somewhat of a driven individual, seeking success, seeking some form of recognition or some form of sense of accomplishment from doing something in the world. But even if you're not a 10 and even if you're not an ace, you'll want to have success in your life of some kind. It'll be your own unique definition. So let me ask you a couple of questions, and you can just think about this a little bit before I sort of say more. And so think about this and ask yourself, like, okay, what do you really love in your life? Like, what things, if there's any things in your life that you just enjoy it, like you're not really doing it for any outcome, you enjoy the doing of it. Is there anything in your life that you can say is something that you just enjoy the doing part of it? In other words, you enjoy the doing so much that you don't really care so much about the outcome. Because there's two kinds of doing, you know, and success. When people are really success or motivated, oriented, sometimes it's a driven situation where they're not going to be happy till they get the end result. I'm not going to be happy till I finish this project, till I have this accomplishment, till I make this much money. Something like that. You know, I'm not going to be, that's kind of like the inner dialogue. I'll be happy when I get this. I'll be happy when I do this. Okay, that's results-oriented action. That's not action that is enjoying the doing. That's action that is just to get to somewhere else. Okay? Nothing wrong with doing that, but just know that you're doing it. Just be aware because it has a liability. But there are some things in life that you'll find, and everybody has them, and it's different for each person. There are some things in life that you just really like to do. And usually, you're kind of good at them without even, like, you almost already knew how to do them in some cases. So, you know, ask yourself now, is there anything that you can recognize in your life that you just really like to do? You like it. Maybe it doesn't make any money, but you like it. Maybe it doesn't bring you any rewards of the more material kind, but you like it. Okay? Now, and look around and see, like, people in the world. Look around at who's like the real successful people, like some of the most top people in their field, like the top dancer, the top sports person, the top entertainer, the top whatever, okay, scientist, you know. Well, what is it about these people that has them be so good at what they're doing? What is it that has them be so good at it that they can become known as one of the best? Like, you know, I'm a good example. I mean, what is it about me that had me really love astro- astrology and computers and the science of the cards. So what is it, what has it in you that has you love things, certain things? Where does that come from? Where does that love come from that you have for certain things? Not all things, but other things. Now, a lot of people in the world today have been so driven by goal-oriented behavior. They become so, accustomed, but more like deadened because of their doing that they have lost touch with what they might love. In other words, they started life out with, like, I have to have the goal, and there's a should there. I should be this way. I should do this. You know, I should do that. And there's no, they lost connection a long time ago with things that they really actually love to do, even though I believe every single person has things they love to do, okay? I think some people, and I'd say a lot of people, have really lost touch with that, either because they felt forced into doing something because they should or they have to by somebody or some circumstances as they were growing up, or because they themselves just became so goal-oriented, seeking something that the success would bring them, that they just picked whatever would get them that and didn't care that much. So their struggle, you know. It's interesting that when we're really goal-oriented in our actions, generally we're struggling. When there's like this big goal and we're not enjoying the now of whatever we're doing, not enjoying the doing of it, just constantly saying, oh, well, I can't wait till I get to the end. You'll notice that problems just crop up, boom, 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 one after the other. It just seems like one problem after the other. That's how it works. It's amazing. It's not a mystery. It's kind of easy to see, but that's how it works. But then we keep doing it. It's funny how we just keep on doing it, even though we are literally stopped in our tracks by so many problems sometimes. Somehow we manage to get through it, and somehow we get there, but then we get there and we never feel quite like we really got anywhere, because now there's some other goal we want to accomplish. But that's another topic. The point I'm making here is, if you're looking at the things that you love to do in life, where does that love come from? Okay. So what I think, this is what I think, it comes from past lives, like something that we did before. It's like there are some kids who just walk up to a piano at the age of 3 and start playing it. And people go, what? What the heck? Where'd that come from? How's that kid able to do that? Well, you know, some famous people like Bach and Beethoven and Amadeus Mozart, I mean, they were like child prodigies. Where did that come from? Where did that natural inclination, that gift, come from? Well, past lives, you may not believe in it, but it explains a lot. It explains a lot. It offers a reasonable explanation for how that could be, is that, you know, a person had developed that trait in a past life and then came into this lifetime, and it was still there. They're not conscious of it, but they were automatically attracted to the same thing, which they were already working on in some way or developing. And then they were already good at it because they'd already done all this practice and everything before. They'd already done all this practice. I mean, you don't have to believe in past lives, but there is something there that some people naturally just pick up. I mean, when I was introduced to the computers, now, it's funny, though, there weren't computers in my past lives, but something about the math of it all must have been part of my background, because I immediately picked up computers. I have never taken one course on computers, and I have made more money through computers than anything else in my whole life. Most of my work is computerized. I was into computers when they first came out. I just adored them. Why? And astrology, too. It's like I knew it already. I picked it up so quickly, and I was so fascinated. So there was this feeling that came over me when I was introduced to astrology and to computers. Both of those things really, really, and the cards as well. When I say the astrology, I'm really referring to the cards and astrology. But when I was introduced to those, when I was first made contact with them, I immediately felt drawn to them, like almost like a person who's met their past life love. You know, you feel drawn to them. You feel something you can't explain. There's something going on another level. You don't know what it is. You just know that it feels right, and there's a compelling feeling inside to pursue it. Well, I hope you have that feeling in your life. I hope you've had it, or I hope that you do have it. So it's like there's nothing you can do about that, in a way. Well, there is. We'll talk about that in a minute. But right now, everybody has something like that, and maybe lots of things. Maybe several things in your life, not just one thing. It could be more than one. Things that you just really love, but for no reason. No reason. There's no reason. There's no reason based on your experiences in this lifetime why you would love a certain thing. These are things you already loved when you got here. You arrived on the planet with that love already embedded in you. It just was waiting for the right stimulus to pop out of you. And the thing about it is, if you pursue that, you're going to be successful because everybody loves, now listen very carefully what I say here, everybody loves watching somebody do something that they love. Or they want part of that. When we do something that we love, everybody wants to feel that love. So they enjoy what you do. Like if you enjoy wood carving, for example, I mean, if you really loved it, people would stand in line for days to get your wood carvings. If you only made one a year. What was it? I saw something on TV with the show. It was a guy in Europe who made these miniatures. Funny, though, he didn't really like the work. He said he didn't like it at all, but he did it. He would make these miniatures that were so small. I mean, he would make little figurines that would actually literally fit inside the eye of a needle, you know, and he would paint them, and it was quite an amazing occupation. I would like to say that he loved it, but he actually himself said he didn't love it. But there's something that everybody does love. And if you do that, you will be successful. That's where success comes from. It doesn't come from some plan that you dream up about how you're going to be successful. It comes from self-exploration and trusting yourself, like trusting your gut instincts. Like if you love to do something, trust that if you just do it, success will come from that. It will. That's the only place it will come from. If you're not loving what you do, if you've chosen to do something that you don't love, all you're going to get out of that is struggle. And I know a lot of people whose lives are just a struggle. I mean, we all make our life a struggle to some extent. The nature of our mind is to be problem-making on a daily basis. But when your main occupational choice is all embedded with struggle, it really takes a toll on you. It makes you look old. It makes you look tired. It makes you look bitter. I mean, there's a lot of things about being in this struggle mentality that are not healthy. Now, it's amazing, you know, our bodies can take a tremendous abuse and still keep going. And some people's bodies have amazing constitution. I mean, they can abuse themselves and be, you know, in a very painful situation for long periods of time, a very unhealthy situation, very unhealthy lifestyle choices and stuff. And they still manage to live, which is amazing. My dad, I was talking to my dad yesterday, there was a guy on TV that was 16 years old, he weighed over 900 pounds. He couldn't even get out of bed. He just sat there and ate all day long. And yeah, okay, that's a choice. It's a lifestyle choice. But he's not going to live to be very old. He's not, you know, what happened to him? Like, did that would happen? But that's what he was doing. That was his choice on some level. So self-exploration. If you don't know what you love to do, you need to get back in touch with it. You got to get back in touch with, like, your child inside of you. Like, what did you enjoy doing? I've mentioned this on the show before, but I never thought I'd be an author. When people ask me, what am I going to be when I grow up? I never said I would be an author. I don't know what I said. Make up something, spaceman or fireman or something. You know, I didn't know. But when I was in seventh grade, I was writing stories. I was writing science fiction stories and illustrating them with pictures. I loved outer space ever since I was a kid. I couldn't get enough science fiction, and even to this day, it's rare if I will ever miss any science fiction movie, no matter how bad it is. Even the worst ones, I'll go watch them, because I love science fiction. I love the future. I love that. That's just, for whatever reason, I enjoy that. By the way, I see a lot of kids' movies now because I have a 12-year-old son, and that's something that we do. Every time a new good movie comes out, or even not so good movie, if it's a kids' movie, we'll go see it. And we went to saw Race to Witch Mountain yesterday, and that was a great, I just loved that movie. It's a kids' movie and a science fiction movie and a family movie, and it's just fun for everybody. It's got a little romance in there. It's got some sci-fi stuff. It's got, you know, some government conspiracy cover-up stuff. It's got UFO people, and it's got a lot of fun. And Las Vegas, Sin City, all rolled into one movie. A lot of fun. So how do you find? Now, here's another thing. This is the last little piece of the puzzle. I lived at a yoga ashram for 10 years. And basically, the path we were on was a certain path of yoga. And the main teacher of that path, whose name was Bapuji. Now, Bapuji is a name you'll hear attached to a lot of spiritual teachers, because that just means loving father in Indian. So there could be 100 Bapujis or more out there teaching yoga or whatever. But this particular Bapuji, his actual real name was Kripalu Vanandaji. And he said that if you really want to love something, he said, you have to practice it. I never forgot that. I never forgot the things that he taught. That was one of the things that he mentioned that I'll never forget. I think he was referring to music at the time. He himself was a trained classical musician, Indian musician. But he said, if you want to develop a love for something, and he was also referring to yoga. He said, if you want to develop a love for something, you have to practice it. And it wasn't until I was thinking about the topic tonight that all kind of clicked together for me. It's like, okay, it's possible that the things that I love now, that I take for granted, like I love computers and astrology and mystic sciences, it's possible that the reason I love them is because I spent so much time in some past life practicing them. In other words, I already earned that love for them. Just like if you have a past life Venus connection with somebody, you've already earned the love that you have between you. You've already worked it out. You may not have anything in common in this lifetime, but you love each other from some place. And that place is the fact that you guys have been together and been through the ups and downs and have worked through it. So maybe this love comes from practice. So my theory is that if you don't know what you love, you can pick something that you think you love a little bit and start practicing it, and your love will grow. You know? But practice means focusing on doing, not the end result. You know, not the end result, but the doing of it. The physical or whatever doing of that thing. The enjoyment of doing, that's what has to happen. You know, when I do yoga, it's like the whole thing, every little bit of that. Every little bit of yoga is being in the doing, in the being of that. That's where it all comes from. Same thing holds true for anything in life that we really want to be successful at. We have to enjoy it and love the doing. Okay, that ends our little talk tonight. We're going to take a break. As always, we listen to some songs from my CD, Bhakti Rock, on the breaks here. And let me see. Let me pull up a tune for Seth. Seth is always trying to second-guess me, like which. He's always trying to figure out what song I'm going to play first. So, Seth, let's try the Krishna Lullaby for this break. And we have one caller on line four, but the other three lines are two lines are open, and you guys are welcome to call in. And now's the time. If you're going to have a reading, now's the time to get in line. We'll be back after the Krishna lullaby. See you in about 5 minutes.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sri Krishna Govinda, Hare Murare, Jai Rama Sita Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sri Krishna Govinda, Hare Murare, Jai Rama Sita Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sri Krishna Govinda, Hare Murare, Jai Rama Sita Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sri Krishna Govinda, Hare Murare, Jai Rama Sita Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And that was Krishna Lullaby. I hope you enjoyed that. That's one of the more subdued songs on the CD. Our first guest tonight is a friend of mine from a long time. Her name is Lorna. She's living in Asheville, where I used to live. Hi, Lorna. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Good. I heard life is improving in Asheville as the weather's clearing up.
We have had a wonderful, mild winter. 2 weeks ago, we had our first real snow, so we've been really spoiled. It was 70 on Christmas and 68 on Thanksgiving, so it's been wonderful as far as the weather goes. We've had a couple of days of winter, and then it clears up. So but it's...
So how are you doing? What's on your mind this evening? Why did you call?
Well, I actually called. I've been trying for a couple of weeks. I wanted to ask you to explain a little bit more in depth a topic that came up with a caller about real time on astrology charts and when you're looking at natal charts. I actually have a daughter that pertains to that was born on one day, and because of the time aspect, she's actually, I believe her cards are the day before. And I just wanted to clarify and make sure that I'm doing it correctly and looking
sure.
at the
great
natal
topic.
Chart.
Before I directly answer your question, let me just tell my listening audience a little bit about what you're saying.
Okay.
So they know what.
Okay.
I'll just take this opportunity to kind of explain a little bit. So
sure.
There is what is known as real time. We call it true solar time when the cards are concerned. And then there's what is called, what we everybody else calls time, is what we call observed time. It means that we all say that it's a certain time, even though it's not, like it's not necessarily the time that we say it is. And the real time that I'm referring to is what you could also call sundial time, like where the sun was at that moment. That's what time is really based on. Time of day is really based on a 24-hour cycle that is really the rotation of the Earth as it's circling the sun. So if you're born close to midnight, and let's say you were born during daylight savings time, for example,
mm-hmm.
your observed time that they put on your birth certificate is already an hour later than it really was, just mm-hmm. by the virtue of being under daylight savings. Was your daughter born in daylight savings?
She was born August 23rd at 12:52 a.m., 96.
August 23rd of 96?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's during daylight savings time.
I think so.
Let me just double check. Okay, let's see here. Yeah, that was daylight savings time. And what was her time of birth?
12:52 a.m.
Okay, so she was born almost at 1 o'clock. And where was she born?
Spokane, Washington.
Okay, let me just double check it real quick, okay? Because that's getting really close.
Mm-hmm.
In her particular case, Spokane is actually not as far west as, like, where we are right now in San Francisco area and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. It looks like it's 117 degrees west. Well, I'd have to sit down and calculate it. I don't think I can do it right now in the air. But that takes an hour away from it right there. Go ahead.
What I wanted to ask is when you're looking at the chart, like on her natal chart, it says universal time 22:45. So when you're looking to look at the, when you've actually had the natal chart done, and then it has another one that has some initials, and it says 7:45. So I guess my question is how do you actually read that when you're looking up somebody? Like if I have a client and I'm looking up their natal chart, to get a specific on it, are you looking at the universal time? Is that what you're looking at? Or to get close to that real time?
Well, I can't say for sure. It might be universal time, but it may not, too. Because it's not really universal time. It's universal time corrected for the location of birth is what it really is. Okay? It's really corrected for the place of birth. I'm just looking
so if
at
you want to
quick.
Figure that out, go ahead.
Well, I have an astrology program, and I put her stuff into it. And I'm just looking. She was born on Friday. But it doesn't really say here what the time the UT was. It says sidereal time, but I can't tell. But basically,
right.
It's the local time corrected for any changes that were done through, like, daylight savings or other means. That's the definition.
So do you have a formula that you use to figure that out?
Yeah, and it's in the back of
that
book.
Pardon?
It's in the back of the Advanced Oracle Workbook, if you have that. I don't know if you have that book.
I do.
But it's
I actually have it in front of me. It's in the back of that. That's for like finding the hour of your card. Is that what you're talking about? Same type of thing.
Yeah. And in order to do that, you have to have the corrected time of birth. You have to derive the true solar time, and it tells you how to do that in that article.
Oh, okay. Well, I apologize.
It shows you how to look up.
I didn't realize it was the same thing. Okay.
Well, that's not the purpose of the article, but you actually do have to get the true solar time in order to know the card of your hour of the day of birth.
Right.
So the formula given in there will instruct you how to do that.
Accomplish the same thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't want to confuse the audience, but you had been talking about it with a guest that was on, and she was born on one day, but actually you had figured out that she was actually the card of the day before. And I just
sometimes
I've
it's really
had
simple.
Quite a few clients that have been born like on cusps and stuff, so I've done their natal charts, you know, to really find out like what the ruling card was and that kind of a thing. And
sometimes it's really straight up and easy to tell, Lorna. And other times you have to sit down and calculate. In your daughter's case, I'd have to calculate because she's actually born 3 degrees or so east of the standard meridian for her time zone.
Okay.
And each degree is like 12 is 4 minutes of time. So I just I would have to sit down and decide and figure out which way is it. More or less.
Well, I wasn't asking you to do hers. I was just using her as an example. And like I said, I was wanting more just to kind of use it as a how I would go about it with a client if I had a question, if there was some discrepancy of what was going on.
That's a great question. And I'm not sure if I think a lot of people who read my books aren't aware that that's important. So I appreciate the fact that you brought it up on the show. Thanks.
Oh, sure. I tried to bring it up that night, but I didn't make it through the line. So.
Well, I appreciate your persistence.
Not a problem. So, are your lines full tonight?
No, they're not, actually. We have one caller, though, waiting.
Oh, okay.
Right now. Yeah. But, I mean, we could talk some more. I mean, do you have a specific question you wanted to ask?
I actually do have a question. I'm divorced and have joint custody with my ex-husband, and there's been some drama with my kids that are still with him, and I'm wondering whether I need to go back to court again or if I just need to let things work out on their own. I'm in a place now where I have space for the kids if they need to come stay with me. It seems like it's cycling through. As soon as the kids get around 13, 14, then there's major conflict with their dad. And now they're
well,
not going to with their dad.
Okay,
now,
so I have an answer for you. I have an answer for you.
Okay.
Okay? Mm-hmm. You normally don't have good karma with legal matters. You know this, right?
I don't, but this year I have really strong legal cards.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
That's one of the reasons I'm out.
You normally don't have it, but this year you do. So if you're going to do it at all, this is the year to do it.
Okay. And I also have Queen of Hearts Long Range and Queen of Hearts Jupiter as well.
Yeah, but your Mars cards are spectacular. And they're coming up. It's coming up on April the 10th. You know, that's when you need to act in the Mars period.
Okay. Well,
that can help you plan.
I've made it known that I'm available. I just don't know whether I need to actually show up in court and do that formality or not. So the judges called him the Teflon man that nothing sticks to him. And so I've just kind of gotten discouraged with dealing with the court aspect of it and just wondered if I just need to make myself available because the mother cards are there so strong already and just let them know that that's an option for them. So...
Well, if you don't think if you don't think your kids want to come stay with you, that's one thing. But if you think they do, now is the time to act because you have the best cards possible.
Okay. That's it.
All right, Lorna, thanks for being my guest tonight.
Sure, thank you. Thanks for your work. And I love your new CD. It's awesome.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate you calling. It's great
to
hear your voice. See you, Lorna.
Bye.
Bye-bye. By the way, folks, Lorna's birthday is December 26, 1965, in case you wanted to look at her cards. Our next guest is also a client and a friend. Her name is Jennifer. She's calling from Miami, where it's getting kind of late. And her birthday is January the 16th, 1956. Are you there, Jennifer?
I am, Robert. Good evening.
Good evening.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you great. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can. I can. Are you going to Tampa?
I am going out west, yes. Or east, I mean.
east, right. Yeah. That sounds like a really nice drive coming out here. It's getting a little hot. Huh?
I heard it's getting warm in Florida. My dad said it
was
warm.
Yeah, and the mosquitoes are starting to fluster about. But hopefully we're getting another cold snap, so you won't have to suffer that much. And
I don't mind it. It doesn't bother me.
Okay. Well, Robert, I'm studying, and I have a couple questions. And number one, in the Jack, right now I'm in my Venus, and it has the King of Spades, which I'm mm-hmm. feeling. I mean, I feel tremendous. And then it also has the Two of Clubs underneath it. Now, will that King of Spades just keep the energy keep going all year through? Will I feel that?
It does act as sort of a significator of how relationships will go for the year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, except that there can be other cards that happen later that contradict that. That's always possible. Mm-hmm. But overall, you can expect good results. But mm-hmm. you should also not waste any time. This is a time to act and take advantage of this.
Uh-huh.
If you have something you want to use this energy for, you need to use it now.
Right now. I mean, right now it's going
right
to be at its high peak. Uh-huh.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
And Two of Clubs is about some kind of a partnership on the intellectual level, you know, some kind of like writing a book together or something like that with somebody.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That I'm already hooking up like with a king of clubs who's a professor and a spiritual professor and also an Eight of Diamonds. These are all yoginas that I'm doing work with. So that makes sense.
Uh-huh.
And then I have another question. Where the Four of Spades is and the Nine of Spades, what does that mean to you in the Mars period?
It depends on the context of everything. You can't really, I never would just try to blanket predict what a card's going to mean without having some context with which to put it in, you know?
Right.
And so we need to know what's going to be going on in your life then, or what's going on in your life now. Like, if you were involved in a legal matter, that's context that I could use, you see.
Mm-hmm.
If you were involved in a legal matter, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You're not involved in a legal matter. So that's not going to be useful. The legal angle is not going to be too useful.
Mm-hmm.
So then what else does Mars rule? Well, Mars rules relationships with men. It's work and passion. Anything you're competitive about at that time?
Mm-hmm.
And you got two nines in Mars, by the way. You have a nine mm-hmm. in your ruling card spread as well.
Oh, yes, I do. That Nine of Diamonds, right?
Mm-hmm. So, first of all, I would say, you know, don't do any legal things during the Mars period.
Uh-huh.
Even
uh-huh.
though you have those other cards that act as somewhat of a, they modify it.
Right.
They modify it. You know, they help. Because you have two difficult cards with two good cards, basically.
I know, isn't it? Yeah, mm-hmm. But it's very interesting. I can wait, but I'm curious to see how this is going to, how I'm going to walk through all this. See, I really like feeling the energy of the card because I'm so sensitive to the energy, and that's really what I like. And especially this Nine of Hearts, Six of Hearts in Venus, my closest, dearest friend, she's a Nine of Hearts. So, we're really,
mm-hmm.
having a lot of deep conversations out, and I'm not concerned about my relationship ending with this person. I mean, I just know here's that
right.
Six of Hearts with that Nine of Hearts, and it's a wonderful time for the both of us. So I
Well, the thing about nines to always keep in mind, and this refers to you, is that a nine can always mean the fulfillment of something long sought after.
Yes, yes. Okay.
Okay, so even in your Mars period, especially because you have good cards with it, like Four of Spades is a really strong card for like a home, you know.
Uh-huh.
Like buying a home or moving into a really nice home or acquiring a really nice home.
Mm-hmm.
It's a home kind of a card, the Four of Spades. It has a lot of home implications, you might say, to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you were thinking of moving or if you were thinking about that. Again, we need to have some context before we can actually say anything about it because it's all going to depend on what your plans are, what you're doing, see?
Mm-hmm. Well,
but you have to take your context. You have to take your own context, and then you can sort of do your own reading when you see what's going on in your life. Now, some things are unpredictable, okay? I mean, some things you just can't figure out ahead of time. There are some cards that you just really can't figure out ahead of time.
Right.
And it's just,
How's your nine of spades?
How's your nine of spades going? Well, I had a nine of spades long range last year.
Oh, it was last year. Oh, I thought it was in this year.
Yeah.
Okay. And how did that affect you? How did you process that?
Well, it was during that year that I got exposed to Eckhart Tolle's work.
Uh-huh.
And I had to let go of some ways of being. It's rather personal stuff, but, you know, I'll just give you a general thumbnail. Is that I had to kind of let go of some things, the way I was being about certain things in my life, in order to have more success with relationships in my life.
Right.
And that's what came. So there was a nine. There was a letting go of something, and out of that came a lot of fulfillment at the same time.
Right.
So that's how the nine can manifest. It can be letting go and having fulfillment, or it can be either or as well.
Right. Well, I've listened to your shows concerning the sevens and the nines, and when you don't, I mean, I'm studying the card system, but also I have Scorpio rising, so I have so much death and rebirth in my life. I've had it since a young girl. So I'm not fearful of it, but I get concerned. You know, we get concerned, okay, where is this going to hit? Is someone going to pass?
That's just human nature to be be concerned like that. Everybody is.
But they're a really strong spiritual card, you know.
The part of us that's concerned about the cards is not our spiritual side.
right. Yeah, it's the ego.
That's our ego. Yeah. And, you know, our ego is always concerned about everything. It always thinks the next thing that comes along is going to completely annihilate it.
That's the nature
of the ego.
Yeah.
It's constantly like, oh, my God, my death is right around the corner.
Well, I don't mind dying. Do you mind dying? I mean, do you mind passing?
Well, I don't know. I'll let you know when I get there, okay?
Okay. I just want to make sure.
It's easy to sit here and say, oh, I'm not afraid of death, but if it really showed up, I may have to feel differently, you know?
Right. If we have to suffer a lot. Well, thank you, Robert.
Or even not. I mean, even just the fact that, you know, death is like the end. I mean, that's very scary for some people.
But it's not the end.
Well, that's what
as far as we're concerned, it's not the end. I mean,
that's the theory that we hold dear.
Yeah.
My dad's a complete atheist, and he says, you know, when you die, that's it. You're dead, you know.
Can you imagine? I just can't imagine it. But I guess, you know, everybody has their belief, and we're safe in our beliefs. So, well, all right. Well,
yeah,
Robert,
I
don't really have much.
So you're having a good year.
Yeah, I am. I am. I did have a Seven of Hearts experience. I was going to start a practice with a Seven of Hearts, and I did go start my reading practice there. And it lasted 11 hours. So, I was a 61-year-old seven of hearts, and she has a six of spades, six of clubs is her Mars card, and I have the seven of hearts. But I already know that birthday because one of my mates was that birthday, so I understand that whole dynamic. So that was 3 weeks ago. So now I know, okay, I want my own little office space. I don't want to be in, you know, being under somebody's wing. I want my own place, maybe with another
practitioner. That help you kind of sort that out?
Yeah, so very quickly. Very,
not
very
clear
quickly.
About it.
Yeah, and I knew the Seven of Hearts was coming up, but I know Seven of Hearts, you know, and I know betrayal, and I know the Seven of Hearts, September 30th, Seven of Hearts, so I was shocked, but then after I went back and I looked at the cards, I wasn't shocked, you know, and I thought, oh, here we go. Okay, this all makes sense, right? So they're just so amazing. I love this system.
That's a good way. That's a really good way of using the system. I mean, what you're describing is, you know, basically how I would use it. It helps us understand, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Just karmic.
It helps us
karmic
understand
pain.
What's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds very karmic, actually.
Yeah. Well, Robert, thank you so much. And when you get back, I want to, or maybe even tomorrow, I want to order the software because I'm sick of going through my books, you know. 20,000 books. At first it was fine because it taught me a lot, but now it's like, okay, this is getting ridiculous, Jenny. Okay, now just break down.
You know, I'm really glad that I learned to do it by hand, too, but I'm really happy now that the software exists. And I appreciate it and I enjoy it, you know, take advantage of it.
Well, I think when you start bringing in all these other factors, when you go deeper in, it gets a little confusing. You know, if you have to remember here and there and remember this page. And so now I just want to see it all in one spot. But I hope it doesn't make me lazy, you know, because it really does teach you to go and do the research, you know, to keep going.
Well, when I do a reading, the software will print out this one page called, I call it the linear spreads report. It's a one-page thing. It has the life spread, the seven-year spreads, and the yearly spreads all on one page for a person.
I know.
With all the underlying cards. Very handy. And I mean, I base all my readings on that. I mean, it's the resource page I go to for the cards, you know.
Right.
I also have in front of me a picture of my desk, like taped to the bottom. I have a glass top desk, and taped underneath it, I have the life spread and the spiritual spread, the grand soul spread array there to refer to, because I like to see the positional influences of people, you know, for the year.
So
it's very handy, and it saves time.
No, that's the bottom line, and it's efficiency. Yeah.
It saves a lot of time.
Yeah. Well, I'll call you tomorrow and order something. I'm very excited. So, bye.
Well, I'm glad that prosperity is flowing your way.
Well, thank you. So am I. I don't worry much about that, you know. I read your book. Well, said I won't take up any more of your time because there's other people.
Well, it's fun having you as a guest, Jennifer. Thanks for calling tonight.
No. Thank you for being my teacher. Bye, Robert. Bye. I'll speak to you tomorrow. Bye.
Okay. Good night. Now, Jennifer is a Jack of Diamonds, and I'm a Queen of Diamonds, so oftentimes, if I meet a Jack of Diamonds, you know, they look, it's natural for them to look up to me for some sort of direction because I'm their moon to me and I'm the sun card. So it's a lot of fun being somebody's sun card in that situation. So thanks for calling, Jennifer. Okay, we're going to take one more call. We have, after this call, all the lines are open. We have Catherine, whose birthday is June the 7th, 1957, and she's calling from Albany. Are you there, Catherine?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hello? Hi.
I can hear you. And can I ask you a quick question?
You bet.
Can I ask you a quick question? Albany what? New York?
New York.
Oh, okay. Just wanted to clarify. Thank you. Just curious.
Yeah, you were recently on, he was kind of a character, but with Joe Gallagher in the mornings. you were on our local station for a couple of times. He's kind of a hard guy to interview with, though. He's such a joker, that I don't know if you were on recently in our hometown area.
Well, the radio guys, some of them like to have you as a guest just so they can try to mutilate you if they can.
Well, embarrass
you.
He doesn't, he meant no harm, but he just, I don't think he got it all, but that's all right. I had heard you before on a radio station several years ago, and I'm just getting into finding you on this radio station.
Great. Well, I'm welcome
to the Diamonds, I believe. And
yes, and an Eight of Spades.
And an Eight of Spades, okay.
That's your second, your ruling card.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I didn't realize that. My question had to do with, the reason I say I'm just getting into listening on this, you may have dealt with this issue before, but I have an ongoing issue of being a real idealist, perfectionist, and so much so that it hinders my ability to make a living. I'm just so finicky. I only want to be in certain environments, and I want things very orderly. And I just wondered if my cards said anything about that, or if you had any advice. Like I have an education and I have abilities, but so many places and people it's too chaotic. It's too I'm too thin-skinned for so much of the real world, and it hinders my ability to make a living, and I end up just living very frugally, but it gets dull too.
Well,
and I'd like to have a richer life.
Well, it's sort of a known thing that all Ten of Diamonds people, their biggest issue in life is having a difficulty in receiving. Are you there?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
They have difficulty in receiving.
Uh-huh.
They're good givers, but not good receivers.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
It's never been put to me that way before, but that would hit the nail on the head.
That's the real underlying issue, actually.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's really going on. See, all the other stuff is the way you're doing it, by not finding a place that you like. That's how you're playing it out. But what's really happening is that you are sabotaging yourself on an unconscious level so that you perpetuate not being able to get, not being able to receive, see?
Yep.
So,
wow.
Oh, and that can really help you because now
you've got $1,000 for this reading.
Yeah, this reading is worth millions, trust me. Okay? because we just answered one of your biggest life questions. See?
Yep. So now
you know where to focus yourself on. You need to focus on learning how to be. It's really the art of being feminine. Ten of Diamonds is not a very feminine card, actually. It's kind of masculine.
Right. It's funny you say that because although I'm attractive, I'm very dynamic, very tall, I hate to say it, but I'm feminine. I'm a very male energy to me. Yes.
All women who are aces and tens are like that.
Mm-hmm.
All of them.
And it puts
They might be the most feminine, gorgeous, sexy looking woman, but their nature is very masculine.
Right.
Same thing applies to women who are kings, and there's a lot of women who are kings too. Like a good example is Sharon Stone and Angelina Jolie. They're both King of Diamonds. Well, they're beautiful, but they're really masculine too.
Right. Yep.
So anyway, but you're the card that has the trouble in receiving. And what's really what's the big thing about it that makes it so amazingly interesting is that your card is the most blessed card in the whole deck.
Right. And you really helped me. Because I just went through a time where I quit my job to take care of my mother who was dying. I went through such a hard time, but I kept thinking, "No, I'm blessed. This is good." I saw the blessings in the situation, even though I was giving a lot. I saw that I was blessed by the situation.
You know, even though Ten of Diamonds people will have lots of troubles. They always get saved in the end somehow.
Well, that's
and
great.
That's because, well, I mean, and that's in spite of themselves. Because if it was all up to you, your life would be would be a complete disaster. But because you have this good karma from a past life, there's a protection around you that always comes through in the end. But I'm here to tell you that your life can be a lot better if you put a little effort into analyzing yourself to see how you're blocking stuff from coming to you. See? I'll give you a good example. And by the way, I've written a book about this. It's called The Big Money Book, and you can get it on my website, seventhunders.com.
Okay.
You can only buy it from me. It's how I overcame poverty consciousness. But it's really about the art of receiving. That's what it's really about. That's where all poverty, well, not all poverty, but most poverty stems from, the inability to receive. Okay?
I had a
good example of that.
Person to ask about this.
Well,
that's
I'm glad
funny.
You called
it. It was called what, the big Money Book?
Yeah, I call it the Big Money Book. It's not a very big book, but I just was having a little play on words there. You know how people will rarely pick up money anymore off the ground?
Right.
You know, a lot of people, like pennies, they won't even pick them up hardly. Well, anybody who doesn't pick up money is just, they're saying, I don't want money. Because, you know, money just appears there in front of you on the ground. And if I don't pick it up, it means I'm saying, I'm telling God, well, I don't need any right now. Come back later.
Right.
Well, I always pick up money everywhere.
Yep.
And I revel in it.
I go picking up pennies, nickels, dimes, everything, and I'm not embarrassed about it. I just do it. Just, that's money. I pick it up.
And you can find, like, people who have a lot of poverty in their life, you can find there's money laying around their house all over the floor in places. It's not picked up, you know, or in their car. To find money on the floorboards and down, you know, down where your feet go. You'll see this common with people that have, really broke.
That's funny.
They're not valuing what's right in front of them.
Well, I'm going to go.
So you have really good things to look forward to.
And you really helped me a lot. Thank you so much. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
I think
call back after you've had some changes or something, and let us know what's going on. Okay.
That sounds great. Very good.
We'd love to hear from you. Okay. Thanks, Catherine.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Have a great night. Bye bye. All right, we're going to take a short break now. We're going to listen to Krishna Hare Krishna. And after that, we're going to come back, and we have Maria on the phone waiting from Austin, Texas. And we have two lines open. So if you want to call on line 2 or 3, those lines are available. We'll be back after Krishna Hare Krishna. Be right back.
Krishna,
Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Hare. What a great chant. I love that chant. Hope you enjoyed it too. Okay, back to our calls now. And our first caller up is, let's see, this would be Maria from Austin, Texas. December 17th, 1960. Are you there, Maria?
Yes, hello, Robert. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Fine, thank you. I love your music. It's fantastic.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Appreciate hearing that.
I actually called last week, and you were short on the time, and I wanted to talk about my Two of Diamonds situation guy with me. And I know I'm an Ace of Clubs, Three Diamonds.
What's his birthday?
He is 12/3/1958.
Okay, so he's a Sagittarian also, like you.
Yes.
And he's a Four of Spades. Okay, so tell me a little bit more about this relationship. What do you want to know, or what's happened so far?
Well, it's very interesting that how it all began. This guy Facebooked me. And it was, like, so weird. I mean, it was like a Facebook relationship. I mean, and I'm in the music industry, and he's in the music industry. So it's like I couldn't believe that this kind of situation just arrived. But, I mean, obviously he didn't know I was a Three of Diamonds, but he Facebooked me and wanted to put me on his Facebook page. And I don't really answer everybody who always Facebooks me, you know.
Sure.
And always a lot of fans and artists, they Facebook me because I'm a music supervisor for film and TV. And I'm always looking for the next, you know, band and that sort of thing. Anyway, I, like,
yeah,
sent him an email back saying, God, I'm so flattered. You look so artistic. And that's how it started. And that was back in November of 08. And we were both coming out of in the throes of long-term relationships. I mean, he was the first guy I dated in 3 years, and he was coming out of a bad relationship as well. So, and now where we are is we're, like, collaborating on projects. And we're also hopefully in love, and I just want to see where that's going, if it's going anywhere, and
That's a good question. Well, you met during your Neptune period. Of the year.
What's that?
You met him during your Neptune period of the year. Are you aware that there's seven periods of the year every year?
Yes, I am. I understand your system, yes.
Yeah, okay. So you were in Neptune when you guys met, is that correct?
Yes. If it was on Facebook, we still met, right? So that counts. So
if you think about it.
Neptune period, yes, sir.
Yeah. And he was in his Neptune period, too. Yeah.
Exactly.
So, you know, it's hard to say at this point. It's interesting because his cards don't really show up in your spreads this year anywhere. Yeah. That doesn't necessarily mean anything, but sometimes it does, you know.
Right.
So you guys are seeing each other on a regular basis now? Are you an item yet?
It's pretty much a regular, you know, thing, and it's become, there was a gestation period where he kind of pulled back and he said, I can't do this, and then all of a sudden, it, like, he cowboyed up to the situation, and right there, I just pulled back, I changed my energy, you know, the whole thing, and my feng shui about it, and there he was.
Yeah. Well, there's no doubt that you two are compatible, and I don't see any problems on that level. You are the boss of this relationship, though. That's important to know.
And that's what I really want to ask you, because you said last week to me, you said, remember, you're the leader in this relationship. And I really don't know what that means. Could you elaborate on that, please?
Yeah. Well, not every relationship has a leader, but most significant relationships do. It comes from a connection called the moon connection between two people. And it's really a great connection. It's one of the highest compatibility connections you can have, and it's found in between most married couples. But in that connection, one person is the moon card and one person is the sun card. And the sun card is the official leader of the relationship.
So I'm the sun card.
You are the sun card. Yeah, that's right. And he's the moon. So he plays the more feminine role in the relationship with you. Do you understand? And whether you are conscious of it or not, whether or not you're conscious of this, he's looking to you for direction. Like, you know, like you said, he ponied up. Well, that's because he came around to what you wanted. See?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Like, he came around.
Thing, like, with the music, like, he wants my advice on the mastering of the album, and he couldn't have.
Yeah, you're the person to give. You're the perfect person to give him that kind of advice. That connection is perfect for that kind of relationship.
I guess I fear that, and that's my, because both my cards are in Mercury, and I worry that, you know, it's going to be short-lived and he's going to move on, and, you know, I'm going to fulfill this.
Yeah, well, you're the one who is actually more short-lived than he is. That's why you're afraid of that. Yes. And you wouldn't be laughing if it wasn't true.
Oh, my God. I can't believe that.
I just
really?
Nailed you.
That's you know hysterical. It. So, I mean, maybe because I've feared being so close with someone, and now I've just, like, been so vulnerable for him and been there.
Well, I mean, you know, I mean... Ace of Clubs.
I really love this guy.
You're also Three of Diamonds, and Three of Diamonds have trouble with commitment. Not always, but it's one of their issues. Okay? So if anybody's going to have trouble with the commitment thing, it's going to be you because of your indecision. See, the tree will want to think about it so much, you know, like think it right into the ground. You know what I mean?
Mercury card, yeah.
Cards. Well, not just the Mercury, but the three is a number of the mind. It's the number of the mind. So anybody who's a three has a lot of mental activity going on, no matter what line they're in the card system. Okay?
He has a lot of mental activity too, though.
He does.
Oh, it's insane. All he does is talk, talk, talk. I sit there listening.
Well, he's a two, though. A two is different. Two seeks relationships, see? He's looking for a compliment, for a partner.
I mean, am I
more.
Getting that for him, or that's my question, I guess.
Well, I think he adores you.
Oh. I mean, so I should trust because the last guy I was with was a Ten of Diamonds, August 3rd, and I was totally infatuated in love with him. And he wore the pants in the relationship big time.
Yeah.
And I got out of that.
That's because you were moon to him.
Okay.
I understand
completely, yes. And, yeah. You know, the thing is I got really, I basically got, you know what I'm saying, I got taken, in a polite way of saying it. So,
well, the sun card always can leave the relationship easier than the moon card person. So actually, your boyfriend has a lot more risks than you do, believe it or not.
Okay, I'm going to ask one last question on this.
Being with you is a much greater risk for him than for you.
Okay, got it. How is our compatibility for creating business together?
It's great as long as you're the leader.
So
anything
I have to
great,
have, like, a direction.
You have to have a plan, like what you guys are doing and why, and you got to have an intention always, yeah. You have to be intentional.
Like the launch of his new album and where I'm going to put it and where I'm going to, like, he's going to tour and all that kind of stuff.
And also having a vision, you're responsible to have a vision for where you guys are going. Like, where are you going to be in a year? Where are you going to be in 5 years? You know, that's your responsibility as the sun person. You are the holder of the vision.
Okay.
And then you say, that, though.
Then you say to him, this is my vision for us. This is my vision for you. Do you like it? Are you coming or not? That's how you have to play it. That's how the moon card connection works.
I mean, I got him into yoga, so.
Well,
I did.
You know, I mean, if he's decided to trust you, he's gonna follow your lead.
Okay, I do say awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, and you are compatible. I mean, you're enjoying it too. You're getting a lot of benefit from having this man that adores you so much.
Well, he's a gift, and that's the way the universe has given it to me, that he's a gift. I mean, I've got this great, great music that I can license and place, and I feel like, okay, there's a creative money-making aspect out of it there, and that's what my passion is. So he's providing me, that's the gift.
Well, what about the other parts? You're so
what
focused
part?
On the business part. You're so, the sex, the love, how about those things?
Oh, well, no, the sex and the love, oh my goodness, that's like the wow factor, you know?
Well, it's funny how you hardly even mentioned it. You just talked about the business.
I didn't know
part.
How much I'm supposed to say on the airwaves here, hello. I mean, I can certainly, you know, get pretty explicit, but I'm trying to, you know, curve my
rocker. No, well, you don't have to. You can, yeah, no problem.
Yeah, I mean, totally, that's all there, you know, and it's wonderful and fabulous, it's passionate, and that's where I get trapped, where I think, oh, my God, all they want to do is, like, you know, take me to bed, and I don't want to just be taken to bed, you know, I want to be loved and in a genuine, sincere way. I mean, getting on that note where I get, you know, emotional and...
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's why all these questions. It's not just the business.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the relationship exposes the compatibility for the collaborative process artistically. Maybe I'm wrong. I mean, that's why I made this call.
Just remember that whatever happens, it was your design that got it there. It's a big responsibility to be the sun card. He's looking to you for direction. If your ship, if the ship gets off course somehow, it's you that did it.
I see.
Because you are you're the captain of the ship.
I don't really like that, being always the captain. You know, I guess when I was with the Diamond,
Well, if you don't like that, if you don't like being the captain of the ship, maybe he should be worried about you leaving him.
Oh, I see. Right.
I'm going to let you go, Maria.
Okay.
I'm going to let you go now because I have other people waiting. But thank you. It's great to talk to you, and good luck.
Thank you so much, Robert. Good night.
All right. Have a good night. Bye-bye. Okay, our next guest is Nancy from New Jersey. She's a Scorpio, born November 2nd, 1954. Are you there, Nancy?
Yes, I am.
Hello, Nancy. How are you?
I had better weeks.
Well, good.
Better years, actually.
What can I help you
with? I'm a little surprised, really, looking at the cards. But, we all know the economy and the work situation. And
you mean the situation that so many people are becoming wealthy with?
Yeah, well,
that,
I'm not
that
welcome.
Situation.
I'm not welcome.
That's too bad. You have to get on the other side of that, you know.
So my issue was I was waiting for spring to really interview and get out of this place. It has a sort of phenomenally high turnover, sort of Ripley's, believe it or not, high turnover. And, you know, they claim they don't lay people off, and what they don't tell you is, no, they don't lay people off. They fire them. Someone doesn't like you, you're fired. It's not a real pleasant place. A little bit sinister, actually. But I'm good.
Sure.
You know, I'm
okay.
Got a lot of background, a lot of experience, and I'm hoping that'll get me somewhere. But I really was hoping you could look at the cards and let me know whether I'm going to be able to leave on my own 2 feet with a new job.
Well, let me see here. In other words, the question is, are you going to get another job?
Well, that's one question. The other question is, will there be any gap?
I see.
I want to resign from the one place and go to another job. I've never had a gap in my life, and I'm hoping to achieve that again.
Well, you know, there's nothing here to indicate a gap or not, but there is indications that you should. This is the year you're supposed to. Get
and
the
I'm
heck
good
out
with
of
that.
Dodge. Okay.
I'm happy to leave because I'm ready to go from this place. I just would prefer not to be fired.
Well, see, okay, but that's putting too many conditions on it, okay? Like, you know that you don't like that job, right?
Right.
So what the hell are you doing there? Why have you been there so long? You
never
liked it. Why are you... Because you live in a poverty consciousness? Is that it? Is that the best you could do? I'm just asking.
No, because the economy got bad last fall.
That's poverty consciousness. That's not true. It doesn't affect everybody. As I said in the beginning, you mean the same economy that's making a lot of people rich right now? There's no less money than there was before. It's just in different people's hands. It didn't disappear. It's all still
there. No, I'm aware of that.
And you could be having that money yourself, and you're a resourceful person.
Mm-hmm.
You're not a victim of some job, you know, and you have a choice. And let me ask you something. Do you have a lot of people depending on you for money?
No.
Are you supporting a family or, you know,
no.
raising kids, doing that kind of stuff?
No. I have a 20-year-old cat.
Okay, then you have no excuse.
Oh, I've got my resume out there. I'm applying for jobs.
Well, you may have to let go of what you have in order to have what you want. You may have to go through a period of uncertainty, which is uncomfortable.
I'm already in a period of uncertainty.
Well, you're uncertain now because you're just afraid, because you're just, you know, mentally going over what bad thing might happen to you. But you haven't actually faced, like leaving this job that you hate anyway, getting out of there, so you can find something, so you can really start over again. You're going to be okay. There's nothing bad that's going to happen to you unless you keep postponing this, see?
I'm not postponing anything. I'm actively looking as hard as I can.
Okay, well, sometimes if you don't find something, it would be because you need to quit what you're doing first. Not always, but sometimes.
Oh, yeah, but I only started looking a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, okay, well, good. Give yourself a little time. But if you wait too long, I think you're going to be, what do they say, they're going to fire you or not fire you? Lay you off?
Fire me,
which
yeah.
Is it? They'll fire you.
Well,
yeah,
this company is very cheap. It doesn't lay people off. It fires them.
Okay. So if you don't find a job by, let's say, June, you're probably going to get fired, okay?
Oh, that's not good news.
Well, that's what the cards... there's a possibility.
Well, that's what I'm concerned about, and I'd have to agree with you, but what I'm asking is, do you see the potential for me to find a new job in my Jupiter period?
There's no indications of it there.
Ooh.
Unless I can tell you, you know, I can answer these questions for you, but you're not going to get any good news. Okay, unfortunately, I'm not going to give you any good news. I don't have any good news to give you about these things. But I can give you some really good advice. And that is, quit the job right now and go, and then look. Get out of there. While you can make that choice on your own and be self-empowered, and then you'll find something. You will find something. You know, you're a five of diamonds, and all the diamonds, I'm a diamond, we always worry about money. You know, we can't help it. But sometimes in life, we have to make a choice other than our fear. We can't just strategize and, you know, try to figure out a way to avoid a fearful situation. We have to just face it and go through it sometimes.
I'm a little puzzled because I hear the concept that you're giving me. I do. But you're also telling me the cards have no good news for me.
Well, there's a What I'm saying is, if you let, if you wait, you have no good news.
Oh, I have no intention of waiting. The moment something likely crops up, I'm taking it.
Well, what if nothing crops up? You're waiting for something to crop up. That's what you're waiting for now.
I'm not waiting anything. I'm actively job hunting.
No, but you're waiting. No, you could quit your job any time. That's the point I'm making. You could quit your job now.
Mm-hmm.
You know you don't like it there. But you're only staying there because you're worried about the money.
Mm-hmm.
See? And you don't even have any dependents. You don't have an excuse to be working a job that you hate. You don't have any excuse for that. Okay? Not in my book, anyway. I mean, I always say to myself, you know, this has never happened, but I always say to myself, what's the worst that could happen? Well, I have to go live with my mother or my father. My dad would take me in. He's still alive. My mom would take me in. That's the worst that could happen. And then I think about that, and I think, okay, I can stop worrying about it now. Now let me just do what I got to do. But working a job that you hate is generally, this is something that's rampant in our country, and people feel victimized by their jobs. You're a very creative, industrious person. You have great sales ability, incredible promotional ability. You've probably never accessed it, but you
actually
have it.
Actually, I have, yeah.
And you could make tons of money in the world on your own without having to be dependent on some company. I don't know how you got wrapped into this company thing. I don't know what enticed you into that, but I don't think it was really a good choice on your part. I don't think it was something that was life choice. I think it was something probably to do with fear, you know, a choice made from fear.
Okay. See? I'm just
and
curious
now,
because in the Jupiter period, I do have an Ace of Clubs as an underlying card, which I would have thought was an opportunity for new business.
What you have is you have a Two of Hearts and a King of Hearts. Is there an opening in your life for a boyfriend to show up?
Yes.
Well, there's going to be a boyfriend show up. Okay, that's a good thing. That's the good news. Okay? So, you know, be happy with that. That's a fun thing. The other cards are, you have the Seven of Spades and Four of Clubs, and that could mean you letting go of this job and taking a risk and doing something good.
Yeah.
And something good coming out of it. But it's not going to be a sure thing. You're going to have to go through uncertainty.
Well, actually, something I'm looking at is a consulting job, which I've never done before, but it looks like a good opportunity. I'm not happy that it's not a permanent job, but it's definitely something I'm looking at that I wouldn't have before. And if you look at my second back card, I call it that. I know you don't. Personality card. I do see a Ten of Clubs and a Jack of Clubs in the Jupiter period.
Yeah, I don't use the personality cards anymore. But that's okay. You can use them. It's fine.
Okay.
But anyway, that's what I have. That's what I have to tell you. I hope it was helpful.
I hope so. I hope things work out. Thank you.
Things always do. You're welcome.
Thanks.
Have
Bye.
A good night. Bye-bye. Okay, it's time for our next break. And on this break, we're going to listen to Sita Ram by Robert Lee Camp on the CD Bhakti Rock. After we get back, we're going to talk to Patty from Stevensville, Montana, and whoever else shows up on the show tonight. Okay, we'll be back in about 5 minutes after Sita Ram.
Thank you.
That was the most rock and rolly tune on my CD called Sitaram. You know, kind of like boogie woogie to Krishna kind of stuff. Hope you enjoyed it. Okay, our next caller up is Patty from Stevensville, Montana. Her birthday, she's an Aquarian. Her birthday is January the 25th, 1954. Are you there, Patty?
I am. Hi, Robert.
Thanks for being patient.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Howdy. I can, actually, loud and clear.
Well, howdy from the big sky. I'm going to send you some of the snow that's coming down.
Yo, snow? Oh, man. I want some snow.
You're lucky.
You guys get all the good stuff. You guys get all the fun up there. What can I say?
I know it. It's a blizzard. But you know what, Robert? I wanted to tell you, I wanted to thank you for all your teachings. I've learned a lot from you. And I've been studying the cards for about 10 years. And I'm a healthcare practitioner, and it's been very helpful. I always look at my patients' birthday and figure out, you know, what their card is. And it's very helpful in just, you know, working with them. And so you've been a blessing in my life. So I want to thank you for that.
Well, you're welcome. Thanks for saying that. I appreciate it. Glad to be of service.
Yes, exactly. Anyway, my question is, I'm 55, and I'm kind of getting at the end of my run here, and, you know, my last act, and I'm financially things are okay, two of diamonds, ten of diamonds, so I'm creative, but I'm kind of looking at reinventing myself and going on a different spiritual trip. And this is going to, you know, be something outside of the box, dealing with more conservative agencies like government, you know, agencies. And so I've got, in Venus, I've got the Three of Clubs and the Four of Diamonds. And I've got some things pending on the table. And I'm just wondering, with that influence, you know, if you have any ideas on how to best use that.
Well, it depends on the on where, how the application, what's the application? I mean, what are you actually doing with that?
Well, I'm trying to get some programs put together. I'm an RN acupuncturist, so I'm trying to get some programs put together for the VA and some of the addiction clinics for some free clinics using this stimulus money that's coming out of the government. And so I'm dealing with, you know, a lot of, you know, jumping through a lot of hoops. And being an Aquarian, you know, I'm not, you know, I'm kind of an independent thinker, and so it's hard for me to stay within the, you know, the framework sometimes. And so, you know, I'm just kind of wondering with that influence if I should be real assertive or should I be more on the receptive mode, I guess.
Well, the Venus, is are you planning something in this Venus period? Is that why you're asking about it?
I am. I've got some stuff in the works and I'm going to be going before these agencies for some interviews and to present these pilot projects.
Well, you have good cards there. You have Three of Clubs and Four of Diamonds. Those are both good. And the Ten of Hearts also you have.
Okay.
It's Jack of Diamonds. I predict success for your presentation.
Okay, good.
That's what I predict.
Yeah. All right. And then when I look in the Mars period, Robert, I've got the Jack of Hearts and the Six of Diamonds. And that's kind of a little worrisome, those two together. I'm not sure what to make of that.
Well, okay, first of all, I just want to say that if I were reading for you, which I am kind of reading for you right now, I would look at the bigger picture, like your long-range card. This is way more significant in a way than things, the cards you're looking at.
Gotcha, okay.
And what is your long-range card? It's a Five of Hearts. So
yes,
what's that
right.
about? You know, like what's that about? Because that's what's really going on this year for you on a personal level. So what's happening? Are you going to move? Are you seeking new relationships? What's going on?
I think all the above. I'm going to move. I think change of occupation and all of the above. You know, Ace of
Spades. Well, Five of Hearts is not an occupational change card. It's a move card. It's a relationship card. But It could be moving because you found your real, the work you really want to do. Because there's another card associated with that as an underlying card of a Six of Diamonds. So it does have the potential to be about you. So be prepared to move.
Okay, so it's more of a moving of home type of card then.
It's about moving, and even though that may not seem significant just yet, uh-huh. I think when you look back on this year, you're going to go, wow, that was the year I moved. That's what's going to really show up as being the big event of the year,
uh-huh.
more than the other things that you're referring to. But I'm not saying those aren't important.
Right.
And you have good cards. You have a Ten of Clubs environment card. So, you dot your I's and cross your T's, and your presentations are going to go really well.
Gotcha.
They just will.
Super. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate that. Appreciate the feedback.
You're welcome.
So, I'll let you know. I'll call you back here in a few months, let you know how it all played out.
Yeah, we'd like to know. Yeah, I'd love to hear back from you and hear how things went and, what you're doing now, where you moved to, or where you're going to move to.
Well, I am looking for a new house, so that's apropos. I mean, because I am, I'm looking for a new place, so. Well, super. All right. Well, thank you. I appreciate all your help.
All right. You're very welcome. Have a great night.
Thank you. Bye-bye, you too.
Bye-bye, Patty. Okay, our next caller is Denise from where? Ooh, Thailand. No kidding. Huh? Is this true? Oh, we'll have to see if we can actually talk to her. Apparently her connection is not so good, but we'll try. Are you there, Denise?
I'm here. Are you there?
Yes. Are you actually in Thailand right now? I can hear you.
I am in Thailand, yeah. And I got an email this morning from you for this radio show, and I thought, okay, I'm going to try it because I've been getting them in the mail, and then I just haven't had the time. And so I opened it up this morning, and I could hear you. So I thought, okay, you were talking about having a couple lines open, so I gave it a try.
Well, it's great. It's great. You're my first guest ever from Thailand.
Robert, I just want to say I've only been studying your cards since about December. Very, very interesting insights for my particular phase in my life right now. This is the first time I'm hearing this show, so I'm not sure if I'm repeating things or whatever. But anyhow, I'm an Eight of Hearts. And this, I think, is an interesting triangle thing that's going on in my life. Oh, it's been a little bit disastrous, but never mind. My partner, who's now becoming my ex, is a King of Clubs. And he, without giving names and so forth, he was having an affair with an Eight of Diamonds. And what I've understood, is Eight of Diamonds is his cosmic lesson card. And I want to know a little bit more about what that means, because I have an Eight of Diamonds coming up in another year or two, I think, for my own, actually Eight of Diamonds is my own Saturn. So I want to understand more of Eight of Diamonds. I don't know if this, I don't think this relationship is happening anymore, but it's actually created a situation now in my life that I am now moving on. It's been huge. Secondly, I'm his Eight of Hearts. He's a King of Clubs. I'm his Saturn in our relationship. And
What birthday is your
mother's
ex?
In there. Pardon?
What is his birthday?
Sorry?
What is his
Sorry?
Birthday? What is
well,
his birthday?
Well, he's without saying it, he's a Jack of Diamonds, King of Clubs, Jack of Diamonds.
Okay. So
he's
the fact that. Okay, well, the fact that you are his Saturn card, see, the relationship was much harder for him than for you. You understand?
Well, this has been about 6-8 months from the whole scenario and everything that went down last year, and I have moved on a lot because I do have a spiritual practice, and it's a little bit easier for me. Because I have a more, maybe more unconditional love. And, anyhow, I am moving on. I want to know, though, what is this Eight of Diamonds for me? How can I embrace this? I'm not saying I want to embrace this person. I know who she is and blah, blah, blah. But I want to embrace that, the beauty of Eight of Diamonds in my own self, if I can take it to a higher level.
Eight of Diamonds is your Saturn card.
Yeah.
You are your ex's Saturn card, and she is your Saturn card.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very close.
So Saturn is our teacher. They teach us something.
So
if we have ears to listen.
So again, my question, how can I embrace
you? But why do you... I don't understand why you even have any desire to know about her card. I don't get it. What's the deal? Why do you even care about her card?
Well, I care because I was trying to figure out what was happening in my life, and I was through your cards and how I came to your...
But why would her card? Why would her card tell you about what's happening in your life?
Just where it was playing out in relation to him, I guess.
Well, you didn't have a relationship with her. You had a relationship with your husband or whatever. In other words, that was him and her, not you and her. You know what
yeah.
I mean? So, like, for
yeah.
you to be asking about her card is really, I don't think that's really going to give you anything valuable, personally.
Mm.
Because it's really more about you and your husband. Like, why did he leave you? That's a good question to ask.
Yeah.
Why did he cheat on you? You know, why did he cheat on you? Well, for one thing, I know that the relationship with you, for him, was very difficult. Not because you're difficult, but because you're his Saturn card. Do you understand? So sometimes a man who would be in that situation... Sometimes a man who will be in a situation like that, he would look for some way out, you know? So he might have started this affair just in order to get out. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure, but, you know, you're his Saturn card, and for whatever reason, he picked you, but I think he wanted out of it. You say he's a Jack of Diamonds ruling card? His secondary card is Jack of Diamonds?
Yeah, Jack of Diamonds ruling, yep.
So... Jack of Diamonds have, of all the King of Clubs birthdays, that one has the strongest freedom issues, you know.
Oh, yeah. Good point.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, he probably felt like he was trapped with you, and he just had to get out. So he cheated on you to get out of it, and now he's out of it, see? Men think that way, you know, they do. They don't really think it. They just, but that's how the mind of a man often works, is, you know. It's really kind of like, well, how do I get out of the situation here, you know, that I'm in?
Yes.
It's not like...
Well, that would be the hardest thing for me to take because it was already something that, you know, I had said to him before, that if you really want me to go, then you betray me. And, you know, this is years ago when I had opened myself to him on that level, and then I guess he must have...
Isn't that funny? You actually told him what to do, and he did it.
Years ago, though.
Yeah, but you probably
I'm in a pretty good space now, but I just found that the whole triangle thing with the cards, I just found it amazing working with the cards. I get myself a weekly reading.
Well, what's interesting is that you're his Saturn and she's your Saturn, so there was double lessons there for both of you, both you and your husband.
Yeah, yeah.
Not for her, though. She doesn't have any lesson in the whole thing. You know. Now, I wanted to just say something about your year, okay, Denise?
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to say a couple of things, and then I'm going to have to go, all right? So, you have a lot of nines this year, Denise.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not done with this. You need to let go of all of this. And a lot of other things mm-hmm. in your life right now. You have nines. You have three nines, the biggest nines.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a year for you of completing and letting go. And I think part of it is letting go of that relationship. You know? Letting that go. Let it be over so you can move on. It's time for you to move on.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah, I'm in a Jupiter phase right now, and that Five of Hearts, I heard somebody else speaking about the Five of Hearts. What could you advise in this particular time frame?
Move to a new place. Move.
You think?
Sure.
Move to a new place. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting you say that because I'm going through my whole house now and I'm throwing things away and, you know, just preparing myself for the move because, you know, it's part of leaving here and leaving the whole relationship and everything. So it's definitely forefront of my mind every day.
You already knew about it somehow.
Yeah.
Well, listen, our show has to end on time tonight, and I really appreciate your calling, but we're going to have to end now.
No problem. Thank you for your insights in this moment, and good luck, and thanks for being my teacher.
You're very welcome, and thank you for being my first guest from Thailand. I appreciate it.
May you have more. Okay. Good night.
All right. Good night. Have a great night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, that was interesting. I think the phone sounded pretty good. I think Seth must have fixed it up pretty good. I could hear it really well. Now with internet phones, you can do anything. So anyway, that concludes our show, and I hope you guys enjoyed it. We're going to end now with our favorite song, which is the Gayatri Mantra, and then we have another show following us right after this. So we'll let you go, and we'll see you here in 2 weeks or 3 weeks. I'm not sure, but there will be recordings of previous shows. Have a great night, and good night.
Varinyam Bhargo Devasya Vimahe